Over to you, Maharaj.
I thank you very, very much, Vikash. This was a really wonderful and well-spoken introduction. I'm thanking you very, very much. I would like to welcome also all of the devotees on the call. As you have been introduced by our Vikash Prabhu, we will talk today about forming a firm intention that will accompany us through our lives, a sankalpa that helps us to move to the next level. I will start the class with singing Jai Radha Madhava. I request all of you to join us singing before your screens, and then we will go directly into the class, and around after 1 hour or so there will be an opportunity to put your questions, and then we will answer the questions. So let us start immediately. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari Jaya Thank you. Krishna Vrestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharini Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskatyadi Shatarini Jai Sila Prabhupada. Today's Bhakti Shastri Energy Class, which is hopefully bringing new energy in our life, has the very nice title, One Day or Day One. Let me explain what is meant with this title. Usually, in the beginning of our spiritual life, when we have just seen an alternative a livable alternative, a fantastic, enthusing alternative to the sufferings of material life. We are very enthusiastic. But as the days goes on, our human shortcomings begin to creep in through the door. We might have thought that we have closed the door to material life once and for all, but more than often the experience is that old tendencies come in and spoil our life. At that time, we feel, I'm living a little compromised now. I'm not living to my full expectations, but one day in the future, I will certainly improve my situation. One day, whenever the day is, I will be a good devotee. Why not make today day one of this? See, in bhakti, there are many wonderful tools that can help us to live the best version of ourselves. And at the end of this program, I will give you three things that you can do to improve the life and immediately enter. For now, I just want us all to understand the unique opportunity which bhakti offers to us. I want to bring you into another classroom today, the classroom where the exalted Prahlad speaks to his school friends and motivates them to take up the path of Krishna consciousness. He says, "Dear friends, you must know this human form of life is very precious. It is rarely attained. And although it is temporary," that means I'm born and I will certainly die within times, "it offers the greatest opportunity for us to obtain the most wonderful, everlasting, eternal benefits in our life." So his friends might ask, "But why should we take to this path of bhakti, you know, why not meditation or something else?" And Prahlad answers, "You must know that the Lord whom we worship on the path of bhakti is first of all Priya. He is very dear to us." How can we know that the Lord is very dear to us? Well, who is a dear friend? A dear friend is someone who is always with us, not just one day, and then the next day he doesn't know us any longer. But Krishna is such a dear friend that he was before us, he was next to us before we were even born. Krishna is with us when we are good. Krishna is with us when we are bad. Krishna will even be at our side when we have COVID. Krishna never leaves us. And he comes with us when our body is carried out of the house into a Maruti van and brought to the cremation site where it will be burned. Krishna is right there at our side. Therefore, he is Priya, the most beloved. He is Atmeshvara. That means he's the master of soul, our soul. Who really understands us, Deepak? Huh? Who really understands you, Jagadananda? What you really think? Not what you portray to the world, but what is really going on inside. Who really understands you, Jai Dwaja Prabhu? Is your wife understanding you all the time? Is your wife always fully with you? Vikashji, who really knows what you really thought when you made the announcement? Nice announcement, but what was going on inside of you? Who understands us so well? Only Atmeshvara, the person who's right in our soul, who knows us so intimately. We cannot hide anything before him. And he loves us anyways. He never gives up on us. And then finally, Prahlad says, you must know, you will never find a well-wisher like Krishna. Therefore, because he is the most beloved, he is the master of the soul, and he is always your well-wisher. He will always like you. You can always turn to him. Therefore, he needs to be worshipped always. Jiva Goswami makes it very clear that in any state, in any moment, you can worship Krishna. You can do it in a garbhi. Garbhi means in the womb. The example is Who heard about Krishna consciousness in the womb? Prahlad Maharaj, yes, Deepak, you, I think, raised your hand. Prahlad was listening to Narad Muni when he was still in the womb of the mother. Therefore, he practiced bhakti already in the womb of the mother. You can be a balye. Balye means a small toddler. And you can still perform bhakti. The example in the Shastra is Dhruva Maharaj, who was a little boy. You can practice bhakti in yovane, in youth. The example is Ambarish Maharaj, who as a teenager started with bhakti. You can also, it's never too late, you can start also in Vardakye, in old age, like our Jai Dwaja Prabhu is little elderly, I can see. You can become perfect in bhakti. You don't need to say, oh no, all these young people, they are so full of energy. I'm not. The example is the bhakti was seen in Dhritarashtra. You believe it or not, there was some traces of bhakti in here. You can practice bhakti also in marane, at the time of death. A good example for someone who took to bhakti at the last moment is Ajamil. When he died on his deathbed, he was calling out, hey Narayan, Narayan, Narayan. You can practice Svagitayam, bhakti, when you are in the heaven. This was seen in Chitraketu, who was with the Vidyadharas in heaven. And you can practice in bhakti in hell, in Narakitayam. The Nishinga Purana describes that once there were all these torture machines in hell, and everyone was screaming. It was a full day in the hellish planets. But then one resident of hell thought, I'm seeing people's limbs are torn out, people's tongues are cut, fire is put into the mouth. It's such a misery here in hell. The only escape is we must turn to Krishna and sing kirtan. And then the Nrisimha Purana says, gradually, all the other residents saw this one person going Hare Krishna in the, next to the torture machines. And they started to engage in kirtan of Lord Hari's name. In this way, they attained the spiritual world because they had bhakti in their heart for Hari, for Krishna, as a result of this kirtan. So, my dear everyone, in all stages of human life, it's never too early, but also never too late, and never impossible to start to with bhakti. So therefore, why not make today day one, the day when we try to our best to engage in bhakti. And as I said, we will hear some very, very good examples for this. So, Prahlad Maharaj looked at his audience, just like I'm looking at you now in the gallery. And he saw the people were not very impressed by what he said. The young boys were thinking, you're saying we should start now with our bhakti, but let us first do a few other things. And why be strict and disciplined just now? We are children. Let us first play. But then Prahlad made a very important point, which I would like to make to all of you. I will request Gokrishna to give me a piece of paper so that you will understand it nicely. Yes, thank you. See, our life has a limited length like this. It is very short. At least we hear this in Germany, that so many people have left their body in an unexpected way. Let us say that is the life duration. This part of the life, yups, is gone with sleep. You don't have this. Already so much is going back by sleep. Then this much is when you are young and foolish as a child who just wants to play. I'm sorry. Oh, this is how cruel Kala is. No, it cuts our life. Then comes, something which you don't know because you are still so young. Only our Jai Dvaja Prabhu may know. But it comes in old age when you are having so many problems. The body is paining. The mind cannot concentrate so easily. There's so much vata and disappointment with all the difficult things. So Prahlad Maharaj said, my dear friends, you don't have much time. The little time which you have left is always cut by so many small, unexpected things you have to do. It just goes and goes and goes and goes and goes and goes. You have little time to do this most important project. Therefore, don't waste your human form of life. We never think of death. Do you know that 75% of the people die without having made a testament? Do you know this? 75, because the mind thinks, well, I will not die. I have all the time in the world. But Prahlad said, no. Understand, the human form of life is temporary. It will disappear quite soon from you. Therefore, start now. Don't waste your time with the material attachments. He, in other words, brings a sense of urgency to the people. Now, you might ask, how can we practice our spiritual life? And I would like to give you a suggestion. As I said in the beginning, when we start with our spiritual life, we usually do that because we have understood that the life without Krishna is not really the full life. It is not a good life. We understand that in the beginning. We feel the limitations of material existence, and we want to do something against it. At that time, we study the scriptures. We hear philosophical lectures, which is online, and we become convinced of Krishna consciousness. But that's not enough to maintain you on the spiritual path. What you need at this stage, where you have started your practice, is pareshanubhava. What that is you need experience. A car runs on fuel. A fire is burning when supplied with wood. A devotee of Krishna is continuing his spiritual life only when he is making spiritual experiences of Krishna's nature, Krishna's beauty, Krishna's personality. Every one of you, we can give thousands of motivational classes. There are many good motivational speakers also in Krishna consciousness. But this will not be of ultimate use unless we make an experience of the nectar that is in the holy names, unless we make an experience of bhakti in our heart. The 11th canto says, when the hairs are not standing on end in ecstasy, when the voice doesn't choke, bhakti cannot develop. You need a spiritual experience. Otherwise, your heart will not change. And when the heart does not change, the old sanskaras or attachments will be too strong to pursue Krishna consciousness on a long path. So how can we make a spiritual experience? I would like to introduce three P's to you. P like the letter P, like Pradyumna. First, it's very important that you keep on studying the philosophy of the Bhagavatam, especially Bhagavat philosophy is very, very powerful. When Krishna left the world, he looked back and he saw, Kali Yuga is coming and it will be very difficult for people. When I was on the planet Earth, it was already difficult for many people, but now when I leave the atmosphere, it will be more difficult. Therefore, let me leave something of me behind where the people can find bhakti. And therefore he left his literary incarnation, the Lord in the form of literature, the Bhagavatam. When you study the Bhagavatam, all the unwanted things leave your heart, and on the throne of your heart, bhakti comes. So philosophy is the next, the first. The second is, the second P, which can help you to really make spiritual experience so that it is easy to make a new start, is the people, means sadhu sangha. There is one rule. Whenever you want to improve yourself, stay with the people who do like you wish to do. For instance, if you want to become have more healthier lifestyle, stay with people who themselves are conscious of their health and who don't destroy their health always by their habits. If you want to get up earlier, be with people who rise early. If you want to be with those who if you want to do more japa and more kirtan and better japa and better kirtan, be with those who love kirtan, not as a show, but who really appreciate the holy name and chant it with love and faith. No? Then you can, then all these qualities will come. So sadhu sangha is very important. When your heart is empty, be with those who are full, who have a full heart, and your heart will overflow with fullness. That is what the Vashishtha Ramayana says about sadhu sangha. Your heart, empty heart, will overflow with fullness when you are with sadhus. So, people, that's the next point. And the last is practice. See how you can improve your practice of Krishna consciousness. See how you can chant with absorption. Let's make a little exercise. Okay? I request you. Krishna. I request you to sit down, to sit straight. Yes, let me see in the gallery if you are all sitting straight. Yes, wonderful, Jagadananda. The very, you know, try to sit bring your shoulders a little up to your ears and then down at the back to open your breathing capacity. Fine. We will now chant together japa for a little while, just a little, a few minutes. But we will do it in a special way. We will do it with our body, our mind, and our heart. Full absorption. Sometimes we see devotees who play harmonium, who are very nice singers, but their mind is not there. They always look somewhere else and they are not absorbed. Sometimes this happens to us also. We are there in kirtan or in japa, but our mind is going all over. It is roaming, it is wandering, sometimes aimlessly. The symptom of real japa is that the mind goes into the holy name and the holy name comes into the mind. That is the japa lakshanam. Dhyan Chandra Goswami informs us. So, to say it in more simple English, the symptom of good japa is when you are absorbed fully, focused fully. And that happens when your body, your mind, and your heart is there. First, the body. Sit properly. And we will use our tongue and our lips to pronounce the mantra very clearly and listen to the mantra very attentively. That is how we arrange our body. So, let us do. Please, everyone, duty now is to pronounce the mantra and to hear your own chanting. Hare Krishna. Say all together, whole mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Good. Next, we will engage the mind. Whenever you see that while you chant, the mind becomes inattentive, it starts to move. Just bring it back to the sound vibration of the holy name which you are perceiving in your consciousness. Please, let us all do together, and this time we are only thinking of bringing the mind back to the sound vibration when it wanders. Please let us start. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Three mantras altogether, so two more. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Thank you. So we have engaged now our body, good pronunciation, good oral reception. We've engaged our mind. Now comes the heart. We should chant not only mechanically, but we should chant prayerfully. When we are going to the various temples we all see, I'm not speaking of ISKCON temples, in other temples when we are in Haridwar, or when we are in Varshana, Nandagram, the people come and have gongs and they go gong 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 gong. I think you have seen such artics, yes? No? Please give me a nodding of the head. This gong artic where the devotees play gongs. Now in India, they have developed the artic machine. It's not real people, but it's a machine which has little hammers and little gongs. Gong 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 gong. But I'm asking you, is this a full-fledged artic? Does the machine do things only mechanically? I think so. The machine has no heart, no devotion, no gratitude like the human being has. Many times our japa is like that artic machine. Only the mechanical tongue is moving, but there is no heart, no devotion in it. That is not right. That is not good. Therefore, we must chant prayerfully. Prayerfully means with the heart. I know one very nice prayer which I personally recommend. Krishna Tomar Hana. It starts like this. It means Krishna. The devotee who chants thinks like this. Krishna, for so many long years in this material world, I have forgotten you. Yes, I'm in the Hare Krishna movement, but I'm thinking mostly of my life. I'm not thinking of your life, what you do at the moment, at this time of the day. I think of my life, not your life. I don't even know what you do. Nor am I really interested. No, the devotee says, I must now be, I can't be like an artic machine who only does the external movements. I have to bring my heart into this. I have to do it prayerfully. So therefore he thinks, Krishna Tomara Hana, for so many long years, I have totally forgotten you. Please, my dear Krishna, today I'm turning to you as your sincere and serious servant. Please accept me. Gokrishna will find this verse for all of us, and he will write it down, and then I can show you. And you can write it down and find it in Chaitanya Charitamrita. This prayerful chanting we will need to do. We need to use our body, which is like a machine, for pronunciation and for hearing. We need our mind to focus and be present, right on the present moment. And we need our heart to engage in prayerful chanting. Krishna, please accept me. Please accept me. So, let us sit again, straight. And together let us chant with good pronunciation, with focus, full focus, and in a prayerful attitude. Let us try at least. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Thank you very much. Now comes the summary. If you have not been able to concentrate fully during the class, or if there were so many points and you cannot bring them all together, summaries help us to get a good overview. We were talking about the need to stop. The English word is procrastination. You know, one day in the future. But we need to make this our starting point in coming to the next level of our spiritual life. We need to make this day one. For this, we heard that it is important to make a spiritual experience, because only by the spiritual experience we will get a higher taste that will help us to remain on the path. And to make a spiritual experience, we suggested the three P's: philosophy, especially the Bhagavatam philosophy, mm. the contact in our life with inspiring people, Sadhu Sangha, it has to be like-minded, it has to lift us up. And we have to be with those devotees who are already practicing what we would like to practice. And finally, we have to have a good sadhana, a spiritual practice. And I suggest the chanting of the holy name as the main practice which we have. But a different type of chanting, not a mechanic chanting like the Artic machine. Thus, the Artic machine knows no ecstasy. The Artic machine has no prayerful heart. The Artic machine has no experience. We have to chant by putting our body, our mind, and our heart into the practice. If you wish to learn more about how to do this, there is a book out which our Bhakta Vikash has shown to us. It is there on the Indian market also. It's called The Living Name, and The Living Name is a composition of all the of the retreats, what we learn in japa retreats and so on. At the end, I promised you a very good shloka. It's Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, chapter 22, text 33. Wonderful, yes. We can all see it now. That is this beautiful prayer which we can utilize to engage our heart. I would request maybe our devotees from the Bhakti Vedanta Academy to again put this notification in the chat box so that really everyone can note it down. Yes, thank you. Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, chapter 22, text 33. That is the verse which will end all mechanic practice. And when you chant with this mood in the heart, you will definitely make a spiritual experience, no? A nourishing experience, so that you think, oh, this was so nice. Let me also do it like this tomorrow and the day after tomorrow and so on. I thank you very much. Yes, here's even the book. Yes. So you can make a screenshot if you wish. There is a lot which will help. It will help you. It's different from a normal book. It's a practice book, no, with many tips how to practice. Okay. So I'm now have now finished. It was a genuine pleasure to be with all of you. Really, I could feel that you were really present. What a wonderful audience you were. I can imagine that there are some questions now. Let me ask our Vikash Prabhu, how will we do this? Will the questions come to you and you will ask me, or please guide everyone in this question and answer session? How should we do it?
Maharaj, we have already requested all the devotees to send queries to us, and I have collected those queries over here. If some of the devotees still have questions and they want to send, they can keep sending that to us in background, and I'll be orating them or asking them to you, and will request you to answer the same. Mm-hmm. So your permission, Maharaj?
Yes.
The first question is, it was the first time we heard from you today that the Dhritarashtra also had some traces of bhakti. So how so, Maharaj? We'd like to know.
Yes. In the Mahabharata, we find that just before the battle of Kurukshetra, Vidura came to Dhritarashtra and said, Krishna is on the side of the Pandavas. It will not be possible for you and your sons to win this war. Therefore, you should surrender to Krishna. But Dhritarashtra was not able to listen to Vidura, because he had invested so much in the wrong company. His son Duryodhana and the other boys, he felt, I have gone so far already down the road. But he said to Vidura, I know that Krishna is God. I know that Krishna is Krishna. This is how bhakti starts, to acknowledge the greatness of God and the smallness of the living entity. At that time, Viduraji called, he could understand, Dhritarashtra is not able to listen to me, I'm too close to him. But if he could ask a sadhu to come and talk to him. So by his own power, Vidura is a great devotee. He called a great sadhu. If I remember his name, Savakya maybe, or I'm not sure about his name, exact name. And the sadhu came and began to speak about Krishna. And Vidura listened and became more convinced. But at the end, he could not act upon his bhakti. The information which we get from the Bhagavatam was that, yes, Dhritarashtra was a king. He was extraordinarily qualified. But he couldn't, when he finally was able to leave the palace at the very end of his life, he could not act in bhakti. He understood, yes, Krishna is Krishna. But therefore he practiced a little lower than bhakti. No? But for some moments in his life, the bhakti came in his heart, even to Dhritarashtra. This is what Jiva Goswami explains this in his Bhakti Sandarbha. I've just read this example from Jiva Goswami in the Bhakti Sandarbha. No? One of six Goswamis, our Jiva Goswami. Mm-hmm. Yes. Please, Vikash, next question.
Yeah. Thank you, Maharaj. And second question is, you said that Krishna is with us even when we are in bad or sinful or in the worst of time. Theoretically, it is easy to say, but when one is in that bad moment, going through the worst time, how to see Krishna with me then?
To understand how Krishna is with you even in bad time, you have to understand the length of time in the midst of time. What does this mean? The length of time, the misery which you're experiencing is only a short section of your life. Before that, there was no misery, and after it, there will be no misery. This misery may be a necessary thing to correct you on a deeper way by burning some old karma, which comes from a long time back. No? It may be like a visit to the dentist. There is tremendous pain at a short moment, but this pain is there because you ate so many gulab jamuns before and you didn't brush your teeth properly afterwards. So it has a history, and now it is, the reaction is there. Now it needs to be removed by some suffering, and then you are tikka, sab tik, it's gone. But if you only stay in the moment, short moment, and do not understand the length of time, then you are totally disturbed. You know, when Lord Krishna wanted to help Yudhishthira to understand the length of time, so just before Yudhishthira left, Yudhishthira and Parikshit and his brothers went to the Himalayas, you know, what is it called? Mahaprasthan, the great departure. And he saw Krishna for the last time, and Krishna said, I give you a letter. You can take this letter when your misery is very, very big. So we all know Yudhishthira and the Panch and his four brothers and Draupadi, they walked together up the Himalayas, and then one by one Draupadi fell, Nakul, Sahadev fell, Arjun fell, and finally Bhim fell to the ground and died. So Krishna had said, I'm giving you this letter. Open it when your misery is too much. So when Bhim fell, finally Yudhishthira said, I can't bear this misery. I have to read the letter which Krishna wrote to me. And he found only one sentence. Also, this misery will pass. Krishna showed him the length of time. You can understand your life only in the misery of which happens only when you look at the length of time. There was something before, that there will be something afterwards. You should in your practice always stay at the moment, in that moment. But in your understanding, you should understand, wow, I'm eternal. I'm here for eternal, since a long time. Good.
Thank you, Maharaj. Maharaj, the third question is, many years ago, a family member of mine hurt and betrayed me so bad. In spite of being in Krishna consciousness for a decade now, I can't forgive the person. I'm always sore with the memories. I try to tell myself, one day I'll forgive her, but I have failed so far. Could you please help me with your guidance?
I'm very, very sorry. And just like you, I have also seen, heard, and sadness, and been misunderstood. Just like you, I know how much it hurts when those who are closest to us, like family members, or even in the devotee family, devotees, misunderstand and hurt us. It is very painful. I know. I would like to give you a tip, though. When you carry this hurt with you, it will keep on biting you, and you, and you, and you only. The person who has done something which hurt you will not suffer. But if you can't let go of this, you will carry the thorn in your foot wherever you go, and it will pain. There is a very nice example which comes to mind of someone who let go of his hurt. And maybe it helps you by listening to this example and understanding it. I hope. I'm thinking of Nelson Mandela. He has helped our movement very much. He was very close to our movement. He was a good man, a good political leader who led his country, South Africa. But before he was nominated as the president of South Africa, he had tried so many times to get equal rights for the black people, for the people of his country, but he had failed. Finally, he was captured by the foreign rulers, the white men. He was captured and put for something like 26 or 27 years into a high security prison where the basic human rights were denied to him, where he was not physically tortured but mentally tortured, you know, by very unfair dealings. But he said when he was released, you know, the day when he was released, he describes, when I walked out of the prison towards the gate, you know, I could understand if I would take the hurt which I felt with me beyond that gate, I would still remain in prison. So you have to do something to get over these feelings of hurt. You have to shake them off. Otherwise, you will carry a thorn in your foot wherever you go. And it will totally spoil your life. You need to learn how to forgive the person. What I do is, every Tuesday I have a Compassion Tuesday where we learn how to forgive and how to be compassionate towards others. And the idea here is often that you see, just like you, that family member has seen sadness, loneliness and despair. Just like you, that person who hurt you has also been hurt in the past. You, in other words, understand the common humanity, you know, that he's a human being like you, making experiences like you, and therefore reacting like you. And just like you, he's only learning in his life, no? He may not have learned something when he has hurt you. And then you forgive him. Yes, we are human beings. You may not always be able to forget because he may not have really changed. So you will be a little polite but still careful with the person. But if you carry that hurt with you, you are the greatest fool in Delhi because you are spoiling your own life. I'm sorry, I'm saying this in such strong terms to motivate you, to shake you, not to offend you. That is not my purpose. I want to say, how can you leave this thorn in your foot? Go to, if you can't get it out yourself, go to someone who can help you. No, when we are on Braj Mandal Parikram, and some thorns go so deep we can't get them out ourselves, go to someone. Even if go to a devotee, but if there are no devotees who can help you because it requires some skills maybe, you might even consider to go into, depending how severe it is, to some professionals who can help you, but you have to get it out. Already 10 years you are suffering. 10 years is too much suffering. It has to be stopped.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Maharaj. Oh, another question, Maharaj. Last year, after a lot of struggle, I enrolled for Bhakti Shastri. After much effort and practice, I made myself study in book reading. And recently, my family was infected with COVID. They are still yet to recover. After they got sick, my book reading has stopped. Nowadays, I can't feel the same energy and enthusiasm. How can I get back into the right zone?
Thank you very much. I'm just I suggest that this is the last question which we deal with, Bhakta Vikash Prabhu, because time is also there. I'm seeing. So let that be the last question, and then we all say goodbye to each other. Good. Yes, you were regular in your reading of Shastra. But then this illness came over your family, and you must have been busy to take care of family members, to do the purchase of the sabjis and everything. And now you, when you pick up a book, it is not, it doesn't help you any longer to, you cannot really absorb yourself. This is a problem which many know, that once they interrupt their steady reading, they cannot find the same taste again when they restart their reading practice. This is a problem which we have heard about and seen many times. You must read in a special way if you want to have taste in the Shastras. Please make notes because this might be important for you. Th- first comes the reading. You read about it. Then the second step is the reflecting. You think about it. What have I just read? How does this apply to my life? Reflecting. What is the spirit here of Shukadev Goswami? What is the spirit of Parikshit as he asks his question? Why is Arjuna asking these questions to Krishna? And why is Krishna answering Arjuna? How does this help Arjuna in this situation? This is called reflecting. The Sanskrit word is manana. You must reflect. When you don't reflect, the information goes in here, or if you read, it goes in somewhere out in the brain, but it leaves you again. When you reflect, you hold the information a little bit more so that it can work on your heart. And after your reflection, you must somehow see how it applies in life. There are various ways for application. One thing is you can practice what you have read, but if it is not such information, you can speak about it. How nice it would be if you would take care of your recuperating family by sometimes speaking to them what you read. Wow, I read this in the 11th canto. I read actually how Uddhava was getting instructions by Lord Krishna. Uddhava wanted to go with Krishna in the spiritual world, but Krishna said, no, you stay. I need you here in this world, but I will give you very good instructions that can help you to renounce the pain which you will feel. I will give you instructions that are very pertinent, very important. So you can read what are the instructions. This is Krishna's dearest devotee, Uddhava. He looks already like Krishna. He is so close to the Lord. What will the Lord tell him before he leaves for his spiritual world? And what is in the Lord's mind? So you read something and then you tell it to others. And then your reading will come alive. If you only read, your reading will be here only for a short time. It will be in the mind, it will not touch your heart. But if you read and then reflect after it, and perhaps either apply it or talk to others about it, wow, your reading will be much better than ever before. Rupa Goswami has written one book, Padyavali, where he says, when will you become more, when will I read, he says, like a person who reads the letter of his best friend, not only one time, he reads two times, not only two times, he reads three times. So good, my friend wrote this to me. Wow, my friend wrote this to me. Whoa, very good letter. My friend, best friend, you know, and you will be very inspired. But you have to start to do it with these three methods, no? Shravanam, it's called in Sanskrit, getting the information. Mananam, reflecting, and nididhyasan, that is practicing, applying it or talking to someone else. My dear devotees, my dear friends, and my dear skeptics, we never know who's on such a call. time is also there, and I have a few things to urgently do after this call. It was a genuine pleasure to be with you. I'm sorry that I cannot answer all your questions at this time. But this is the time, we are already over time. So I thank you very much, and I will request our Bhakta Vikash, who opened the session, to close the session, and in this way we will go on.
So, thanks a lot, Maharaj. We have not many questions, but definitely, since we have less time, just one last question, Maharaj, as to when can Noida be blessed to host a Japa retreat organized by you? You are mesmerized by the meditational kirtan, a small kirtan which you did in the beginning. So when can we have that?
Yeah, Hare Krishna, thank you, thank you, thank you. Well, I suggest the following. If you, I have a very, very nice assistant, very intelligent. His name is Gokrishna. He also knows the, who was the boy?
Achyutakata.
Achyutakata. Achyutakata was at the Japa, please come that they can see, was at the Japa retreat, Govardhan retreat there. Was it Japa or Govardhan retreat?
VIHE
Govardhan retreat, and they made contact. So you can be in contact with Gokrishna. I don't know who is organizing the Bhaktivedanta Academy. Is this you? Vikash, yes. Or some Buddhimanta Prabhu.
Buddhimanta Prabhu.
Yes, Buddhimanta Prabhu, and they can be in contact with Gokrishna. They have been in contact, you know, over yes. WhatsApp and arranged it. And then when we come to India, after some time, it is possible. We hope this year already at the end for the Govardhan retreat. I always go, it's in the winter time, but if it's not yet possible, then soon, then you can arrange through Gokrishna. Yes?
Thank you, Maharaj. So as a last sort, I would request all the devotees to go on unmute.